I'm not going to take very long because I want to see what the Lord's doing through Pastor Dave. Sue and I began attending the prayer center in 1992. We had already been saved and spirit-filled for 12 years. And, you know, we went to some good churches. But we also, how do I say this? It seems like everything would go okay for a while, then we'd hit a brick wall. Can anyone understand that? It seemed like things would never quite come to fruition. And we never could really understand what was causing that. Then we start coming to the prayer center. And even though we had been spirit-filled for 12 years and we could pray in tongues, nobody had ever taught us that there was any real value to setting aside time on purpose praying in other tongues to allow the Spirit to become your teacher. And it's one of the primary ways, you know, that you unlock the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. But make a long story short, we began doing that, just doing what Pastor Dave teaches, and learning also how the companion to that is learning how to meditate the Word in whole images. How many of you are tired of snippet theology? Snippet theology will kill you. You know, take a little verse out of its setting. And so the combination of those things, we just began doing that message. And it's amazing how, I don't care how messed up you are, what your experiences have been, I don't care how religious or unreligious you are. If you turn yourself over to the Holy Ghost and learn how to sit in the classrooms of God the Spirit who teaches, He can take you, I don't care where you are. I don't care what problem you're in. Physically, emotionally, financially, or any other way. You put your hand in the hand of the Holy Ghost, and He is going to lead you into the best that God has. Well, that's basically what we've learned to do. And God not only rescued us in every way, physically and emotionally, we were a wreck when we started there. But He gave us a ministry, put us full time in His service. We've been around this world now preaching the gospel, still doing it today, got all of our family saved. And all I can tell you is I highly recommend the message that comes through Pastor Dave Roberson. If you don't have his book, you need his book. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. Oh, here it is right here. If you need to get this book. There's 30 years of ministry and wisdom that comes from that ministry distilled for you in a single book here. All right. Now, I think it's also my privilege to exhort you over the offering tonight. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. This won't take but 30, 40 minutes. Don't worry. One thing that we were teasing in the back room, and Jim asked Sue if she wanted to do the offering, you know. Don't think she can't. She said, well, what would you say? Well, I'd get up there and tell them to search their heart, and if they don't find anything in them that wants to give, at the altar call tonight, they need to get saved. I love my wife, I'm telling you. See, because when you genuinely get saved, His nature comes into you. God is love, and God so loved that He gave. God is a giver, and your nature becomes a giver. And we found that to be the case when we first got born again. Boy, there was a little group of us that all got saved about the same time. And not only did we want to support the young man that led us to the Lord in his ministry, but we also, if we found out, all we had to do was just get a whiff of a need amongst one of our fellow brethren that had any kind of a need at all. Boy, it was our thrill and our joy to supply that need, whatever it was. More than once, we emptied the bank account. And it was just a joy, you know. And then we started going to church. It was other church. This was during that 12 years now. And they began teaching us things like the hundredfold return. Let me just put it this way. They began getting little by little over the next years this was in the 80s. The focus of our giving was no longer the person in need. They turned the focus of our giving to meeting our need. It took a while to do that, but they were highly successful. And it got to the point where every time I gave, it was, I'm going to see, what need do I have? I need to name my seed. Anyone ever hear anything like that? I need to sow my best seed to meet my need. So the focus of our giving was us. Well, then we started attending Dave's church and doing the message and spending long hours praying in the Holy Ghost and learning to meditate the Word in whole images. Dave has whole series, and so does Jim, about how to meditate the Word. One of the passages that came alive in me, which I had never seen before, was really this one in Luke 8. And see, we don't really get many behind-the-scenes pictures into Jesus' ministry. In fact, this is the only place I know of where we kind of get a peek behind the curtain. How did he really function financially? I mean, he traveled from town to town. He had people that traveled with him. There were expenses like there is at any ministry. They had to buy food. There's places, times when they would pay for lodging. How did it happen, see? But this is one of those rare occasions where we get to see behind the veil. So in Luke 8 it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." So see, he's traveling with the 12. "And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils." And we read by that too quick. Let's talk about Mary Magdalene for a minute. 7 devils. Wonder what her life was like before Jesus came. What kind of torment? Some say she was a prostitute. 7 devils possessed. Doesn't tell us how long. And Jesus comes to town. Lays his hand on her. Speaks the word over her. She gets completely set free. And what do you think the motivation of her heart is when she gives? You think she has some need of her own in mind? All she knows is, my life was a wreck before Jesus came. He set me free. I want to help him get to the next town where he can set some other people free. See, that's the true motive for giving there. And it took a while for the Holy Spirit to get Sue and I back on track. But if there are ever two people on earth that know they were headed to hell, it's Sue and Gary Carpenter. We had no hope. We had no chance of making hell. The only reason we're not going to hell is because of the blood of Jesus. Because he saved us. And everything we have, everything we ever will have, as far as we're concerned, belongs to him. Well, no more is our giving about meeting our need. He has already met our need. Our giving is about getting that next person saved, getting that next person filled with the Holy Ghost, getting that next person out of religion and into life. And that's what real giving is about. One other little tidbit. You know, God is God. He could arrange anything any way that he wants. If he would have wanted Jesus' ministry supported by the tithe, he could have arranged that. It's obvious, only the Levite, only the tribe of Levi was legally able to receive a tithe. And the Lord, as you know, is from the tribe of Judah. Illegal to receive a tithe. Type and shadow. Free will offerings is what our Lord wants. From the heart, not only from Mary, looky here. He can also touch the hearts of some rich people too. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who's he? Oh, that's King Herod's steward. You reckon she might have had access to some money? And Susanna and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Sue is right. If it doesn't come from the heart, he really doesn't want it by law. What he's after is offerings like this. How many of you glad you're saved? Glad you've been healed, touched, filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever it is he's done for you. When you give tonight, you're helping send this message. Next village, next town, next person that's going to hear it. And thank God for the precious fruit of the earth that's going to be reaped into the kingdom. Amen? So just bow your head for a moment. I don't know but two ways in the New Testament to give. One is as the Lord's steward, you know. He really has no hands on the earth but ours. He has no hands to give into this offering but the hands of his people. There's times when Sue and I pray and I hear him say a specific amount he wants us to give. Boy, when we hear that, that's what we want to do. But most of the time we don't. Well, in that case, if you ask him and don't hear anything, then the Bible says, let every man and woman, let them purpose in their own heart what they'd like to give. Not by necessity, not by law, but from a cheerful heart that wants to give. So just listen for his voice. Lord, this is the time. Lord, I know there's people listening that have themselves in training on purpose to hear your voice, to be your steward. Lord, this is the time they're listening. If you have an amount you want any individuals to give, speak it to their heart. What they hear you say, I know that's what they'll do. Then if you say, Gary, I'm listening, I'm not hearing him say anything, then you have the privilege of giving from your heart. What's in your heart to give? What would you like to do tonight? I believe there's envelopes on the back of the pews.